Hey, folks. Welcome to the Doghouse. This week on the Doghouse, we're going to talk about a number of different things, including the value of Loctite on your motorcycle, as well as racing in Assen.
Yes, and Mud's Creek.
And Mud's Creek. We're going to talk about the racing that took place at Bud's Creek, which will now be known as Mud's Creek, which it does have a history of doing. Also going to talk about a tragedy that took place at the Pikes Peak, hill climb, and a couple other things, including, have you had enough of OCC? Maybe not. So stick around. We'll be right back. Kick off the show. Welcome to the Doghouse. As we said in the preceder, what do you call that? Intro to the show, I guess, would be the right way to say it.
Yeah,
I don't know what you call that.
You know, there is actually
it's like a
word
prequel.
For it.
It's the prequel.
There's actually a word
after
for
the
it.
Show.
Damn it! I used to know that.
Yes, there is. I don't know, but anyways, as we were sort of teasing up the show as we were coming in, I did make a mention, sort of tongue in cheek, about the benefits of Loctite on your motorcycle, because we are actually missing somebody here on the show tonight.
Or did he get fired?
No, he's actually was coming back from vacation and things started falling off his Harley. Something you
wouldn't normally expect.
Yeah, right. What you expect?
You know, I just want to bring this up just because, you know, Dave Meat, the listener that came all the way out here to visit us from wherever he was from.
I think you give us too much credit. I think he came here for a marathon and
then, all right. You know what? Just kill me like that. Yeah. But, you know, he never posted up pictures of somebody towing his bike away, his BMW.
Right.
So, you know, and of course, Warren went on a trip this past week and ended up on the back of a tow truck. So, you know, if you go to talk to trash about the warranty recalls and all this kind of stuff, you got to eat the crow when it gets spoon-fed to you. So, have fun, Warren.
Yeah, so Warren ended up having to get towed because of a bolt that came loose, which I didn't quite understand that. But, well, you stick around next week, you come back, check out the show, and we'll find out, you know, what else fell off his bike that it needed to be towed. I somehow can't imagine it had to be towed because of a single bolt.
Maybe. I don't know.
I can't imagine that. But we'll find out anyway. As I did mention, we did have racing that took place locally at Bud's Creek this week, and we're going to talk about that in the second segment of the show. It is the second segment of the show. Or is it third? I don't even remember anymore.
It's kind of the third.
Okay, I guess it is the third then. Yeah, because we have two breaks. I don't know. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about some great racing. At least it was great racing for me and Phil, and maybe a few other people in the pool, that took place in Assen.
And we also got to talk about the Moto 3 race, which had one of the most spectacular race finishes for a guy who came in, I believe, 17th.
Stunt race. It actually had some stunt riding.
It was like Kenny Kelly was running the Moto 3 race. So yeah, we definitely got to talk about that.
One of the coolest get-offs I've ever seen in motorcycle race.
Kind of like Ricky Bobby, where like at the end of Ricky Bobby runs across the thing. Yeah. We'll get into that a little later.
So let me go ahead and kick off the news for this week. And, you know, I set a personal policy about 4 years ago that I wasn't going to report on motorcyclist deaths unless it was a very special circumstance. I don't mean to sound too crass, but, you know, if it was humorous. But, or it was racing related.
Okay.
Sadly, this week, at one of the premier events here in the U.S., a rider lost his life. At the Pikes Peak hill climb.
Ooh, that's a dangerous. Well, you know, when you talk about dangerous tracks, so to speak. I mean, I don't know if you really consider that a track, but that is just dangerous. I mean, there's no walls. You're going up a mountain. A lot of sharp turns.
Fall-offs. Yeah, you know, that's true. I actually think of the Pikes Peak hill climb as being more dangerous for spectators. I think when I've watched it. But I've never thought it was really all that much more dangerous than, say, Isle of Man TT.
Well, I'm not sure anything is as dangerous as, like, Isle of Man.
Yeah, because the Isle of Man TT, there are places where there aren't wall, and where there is wall, you don't really want to hit it. Stone wall's not very forgiving. But you know, it didn't take long after the word came out about Sorensen's death that a bunch of people started coming out of the closet bemoaning the dangers of, quote, those racing up the mountain with nothing but a helmet to protect them from tragedy. And this is like the gut reaction that comes out immediately after the death of anybody that rides a motorcycle.
Right.
And it's just blows me away.
Pikes Peak's California, right?
Pikes Peak's Colorado.
Colorado. All right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm horrible at those things. Geography is not my strong suit.
Or English, or...
But I am now an expert on poison caterpillars.
Right.
if you don't know what that means, you got to get Facebook and...
You need to get on there and
follow. Bleep out the bad words.
Right. Bleep out the bad words. This is actually the second consecutive year that a motorcyclist was killed during the prep for the race. Actually, before the race. Bobby Gooden died after losing control of his 2014 Triumph Daytona... moments after crossing the finish line during practice last year.
I don't remember that.
I think I actually reported on that last year. Historically, the Pikes Peak Hill Climb did not have motorcycle divisions from 1977 through 79 and again from 83 through 1990. Though I don't ever remember seeing it being specifically addressed as a safety issue. If you've ever watched a video of a race... of the Pikes Peak Hill Climb. God,
that's it's a
tongue twister. If you've ever watched a video of it, I think what would strike you would be the same thing that struck me watching it is the proximity of the spectators. And in some places, they've gotten better about it in recent years, but it's even in some of the car divisions I've watched. You see, I've seen cars go over the head of some of the spectators.
Oh yeah, I mean it's you're standing there. It's like European Rally or Isle of Man, I think, is a great example. I mean, it's like you can... I always view it as like the Wall of Death. You ever go to like Daytona and see the Wall of Death?
Yeah.
Where the guy like rides up and he takes the singles out of your hands?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like those guys could do that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're right there on the action. It's kind of crazy. I guess we're not going to answer the phone here.
No,
I don't know. The listeners
can hear
it
ringing. You know, if Warren's calling in, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm not coming to pick him up now. It's too late. The show started. But, you know, I mean, that's just you are really close. I think the thing that kind of makes me look at it funny is, like, just you're going up that hill at a high speed with all the turns.
Very impressive speeds, actually.
Very impressive speeds. I mean, I was watching... Oh, no, we were all watching. On Any Sunday, too.
Right, yeah. And they
had the guy, you know, and stuff. I mean, it's quite a impressive feat.
Yeah.
I would love to go see it live.
Yeah, I think that would be a cool race to see live. They had a lot of good overhead shots on it, and it's pretty impressive when you see that. There's actually a picture in the post of some guys up on the higher sections of the race course looking down, and you can actually see some of the course there at Pikes Peak well below them, because the elevation change is pretty respectable, like 1300 feet. You know, it's nothing to laugh at,
right? No, it's
on a race course in there. But you know, even though the spectators are pretty close in there, it's not all that much different than, say, road racing in Europe. But I think to some extent that's kind of like a calculated risk you take as a spectator. You know, I would say if you're in a place where there's a chance that you're going to get hit in there, and it gives you a great vantage point, which usually the places that you're going to get hit give you the best vantage point.
You know, I mean, I did a lot of photography at racetracks for a little while, and you know, I mean, every time you're standing there, I always looked around before the action got there, whether it was motorcycles, whether it was cars, even Top Fuel drags where they're going straight next to you.
Oh yeah,
I stood close enough to the wall that if something happened, probably that I probably couldn't get there. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, that's where I was headed, to lay up against the wall.
Find your spot.
You know, and I gotta imagine you kind of do the same thing. I mean, what was it about 2 months ago where at the flat track race the bike got away from the guy and hit the spectator, went over the fence and stuff. So every racetrack is dangerous. You know, I mean, even to some extent, even what was it, true. Daytona, where they had the tire a couple years ago at the Daytona 500?
Yeah, go up in the stands. Right, yeah.
I mean, it went through the fence.
Yeah. They had a car take out a bunch of sections of the fence.
Yeah, you know, so anytime you're at a racetrack, you should always just pay attention.
Well, yeah, and I think, like I said, you can get killed at a hockey game.
You can.
I broke
the kid who lived next to me in college's nose at a hockey game because he had his head turned and a puck came over the glass and we were in the section right before the corner and it was a slap shot coming that got deflected. I reached out to catch the puck. He turned around and my hand, it broke my hand when I caught the puck and I hit him right in the nose.
Yeah.
I got arrested and because they thought, the guards thought I punched him, but that's a different story.
Nobody believes Phil's doing something for the good of mankind.
I just really wanted the puck. I really could care less about the rest.
But, you know, in recent years, and even in the Isle Man TT, there have been some steps that have taken to protect the spectators to some extent. But that's really not what the article is all about. You know, this is really more about the people that came out and started barking about the dangers, you know, for the racers. And, you know, after the death of Sorensen, the event organizer said nothing on the possibility of moving to a strictly four-wheeled competition.
But I don't understand how that, you know, guys get killed in cars there too.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not like it's more safe to be in a car.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Because you got something between you and the things you're going to run into.
Yeah, but you also have all that extra weight and no chance of grabbing a tree or something way down the side of the mountain.
Yeah, but it's much easier to protect somebody inside a roll cage than it is. And that's the racers know that. That's what I'm saying. It's a calculated risk that both the spectators and the racers.
If you're scared, you're not. If you're a scaredy cat, chicken feathered leg, Sunday riding wannabe, you're not doing this anyways.
I think that
this is not for Rubes.
There's nobody racing that does not realize that they could lose their life doing that. There's no way. You can't be that stupid and actually be a racer. I don't think. But, you know, nonetheless, it didn't stop the outcries. Of course, it was one of the car racers at Pikes Peak who was the first to speak up. Okay. And it was the driver, Lane Schranz, who said, "There's clearly less risk in a car or any of the roll cage type vehicles than there are in motorcycles. But there's still risk, obviously. And I doubt there's anyone more attuned to that risk than the motorcycle racers themselves."
Right.
They probably all know someone who's died in a race.
Yeah.
So, but it's a risk they're willing to accept. And, you know, otherwise I think they'd stay away, but they don't, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not, you know, anytime you do anything, there's a risk of dying. Yeah, you know, and if that's what they want to do, why stop them? I mean, I don't think any of them go out there and want to die. That's not what I'm saying.
I think it's like if you say, yeah, there's a chance that you could get run over crossing the street. That's true.
Right. In today's America, that does mean you should ban crossing the street.
There's a lot of ways. Yeah, there's always a freak accident you can get killed. But dying in a motorcycle race is something that's real. You don't have to stretch your imagination. It's not like saying, I'm not going to take a bath because I could slip in the tub. Racing is something where you go in knowing the risks up front.
Well, speaking of that, can I go on a little side rant for a second?
I don't care.
I want to call out a group of people.
Okay.
Group of people.
Does it have anything to do with what we're talking about?
Kind of does. It has to do with like racing and being a man.
Okay.
And obviously, if you race and you're a man, you don't drive an Indy car because they had a phenomenal race in Sonoma on a roundy-round track.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all going, oh, my God, I'm scared because we were four wide. And remember, Dan Weldon got killed 2 years ago at a roundy-round track.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind to me, it's the same thing. If you're going to be a professional race car driver, deal with it. Or be good. Or, you know, if you're going to be a professional motorcycle racer.
Wow, I'm gonna give you a counter opinion to that.
I don't like that, but go ahead.
Okay. The counter opinion I'm going to give you is that cars racing side-by-side,
I just wanted to call them out as a bunch of wussies.
I don't know that they are, because open-wheel racing, I think, is different. Racing side-by-side in open-wheel racing is demonstrably more dangerous than it is in, like, a NASCAR.
I'm just saying, if you're supposed to be a pro driver, act like it. Shave the feathers off your legs.
But they still die. Even without having that kind of contact, they still die. And they know that. And all the racers know that they have that risk in there.
Durka is telling me to look at the camera.
He's okay.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, right. He's shaking his head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I keep looking over at Ken.
Yeah.
So I will look at the camera when I say that.
But if
I'm just saying, if you get into a race situation, you know the risk.
Right. You do. And I don't, that's why I think people shouldn't be. You shouldn't be trying to protect people from their own interests. There's no such thing as a safe form of racing, period.
No, there isn't.
One of the motorcycle riders, Cody Vanshul, said, quote, if you're prepared and you know where you're going, I think it's the same either way. I really do. Cars also have their dangers. Roll cages break.
Yep.
And people have been speared by the roll cages, as well as trees, rocks, or anything else. A car, you can't eject out of,
right.
Which you may think that that's great, right? You're strapped in.
Oh.
There are cases when it's not. especially if you're stuck in it and you're going for that ride, whether you like it or not. Motorcycles, yep. Sometimes you get lucky and you don't go with the motorcycle and you might end up not running where the motorcycle runs, especially when that's into a wall or other things. That happens a lot and
yep.
At the professional racing level. But
I mean, somebody just had a whole video I watched on YouTube today of like motorcycle crashes and stuff. Where you know, it was guys flipping over him and stuff, and everybody was getting up and walking away.
In most cases, they do. Sometimes they get up and walk away, and they got bones sticking out of their arm.
Right, well, you know, they're just tougher.
At least one article I came across argued that the most memorable crash in recent memory almost surely would have ended differently were it not for the safety features of a car. And Jeremy Foley tumbled down the side of the mountain but emerged unscathed in 2012. Quote, there's those freak accidents that can happen, Ryan Miller said, but as far as a car, we're in an enclosed cockpit. The seat goes down to my knees, wraps around my head. I have head restraints. I can't go anywhere. I thought, yeah, okay, I'll agree that cars are safer, but that's not news, and I don't understand why this came up. The question just remains whether the Pikes Peak organizers are going to yield to this kind of pressure from people who think it's too dangerous because they erroneously believe that there's such a thing as safe racing. There just is not such a thing as safe racing.
I hope not.
Would you agree? Did I bore you with that story, Phil?
I did not sleep last night at all. I literally,
that's because you were curled up with a caterpillar.
You know, I'll fight a bear. I will punch a gorilla in the mouth. I'll mess with poisonous snakes.
Can we get a video of that? I want to see you punch a gorilla.
You find a gorilla, I'll punch him in the mouth.
That's one of the zoo.
Last night I stepped on a caterpillar. Who would have thought? Who would have thought there's such things as poisonous stinging caterpillars? My foot's like the size of my head right now. It's black and blue. Half of it's in pain. Half of it's numb. Was like that all last night. The fact that I didn't fall asleep driving here is amazing to me. The fact that I could drive here.
I got to ask you, how did you know that it was the caterpillar did it?
It was the only thing in the yard over by where I was walking when I got the paint.
So there's the big news. The big news is you actually stepped on a caterpillar and there was something left to find? You kind of walked right into that.
You know what?
I stepped right on it.
Yeah, that's off camera. Yeah, I'll bring my hand
Phil's voting. Phil's voting.
I'm voting.
Phil's
Ken's
voting.
Number one.
Phil's voting.
But who knew there were poisonous caterpillars?
I had never heard of such a thing.
There are six varieties in where my new house is. Six!
Six.
I'm holding up eight fingers.
Six.
This is like, damn it.
Wow.
But
is there a neurotoxin that's in there?
I don't know. I've been off on everything today. But I'm not throwing up, so I don't have to go see the doctor.
Apparently, that's the rule.
I even tried to force myself to eat because I had a hero from next door. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't throw up. So I'm like, I am not allergic to this stuff.
I was going to say, that's inviting a reaction. Right?
But that's just the way it is. So I'm sorry. I'm not yawning because your story bores me.
Okay.
I'm yawning because I am literally working on like.
I didn't know if maybe caterpillars, when you're suffering from the effects of caterpillar poison, if that could cause you to fall asleep as well.
It might. I don't know. I've never been through this. We don't have poisonous caterpillars where I'm from. I didn't even know that was poisonous caterpillars. It was a buck caterpillar.
What do you think about that? Don't you think this is actually ridiculous? I mean, it's terribly tragic. This guy lost his life.
I'm a little annoyed that we're even giving it press. But we need to give it press so people can say that's retarded.
Yeah, I think
because that's retarded.
Well, anytime anybody brings up the idea that motorcycle racing isn't safe, it's like, yeah, duh.
Duh.
Like, who doesn't know that? But to make the argument that motorcycle racing should be taken out of an event that's predominantly been a motorcycle and a car event, like the Pikes Peak Hill Climb. And I don't know why it wasn't in the, you know, why it wasn't involved. There were years where they didn't have motorcycle racing. If it was lack of,
I don't even remember that, but
I don't recall it either. But you know, I think they actually the more interesting racing on that Pikes Peak Hill Climb is the motorcycle race.
Every now and then there'll be a car that goes up there with like a lightning fast speed, and you're like, whoa,
right, yeah.
But I mean, like the electric motorcycle video, I've
yeah,
seen
we did
going
that.
Up there.
Well, that was the one we talked about last year when the lightning. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that was phenomenal, and right. I mean, it's a great course for those kind of things. I wish, and they'll never do this, no matter how many times I plan. But I wish the Tail of the Dragon would close down and do a race like that through the Dragon's Tail in North Carolina.
That's interesting.
I mean, yeah.
Only problem with that, a lot of trees along that road. There's no place to go off the Tail of the Dragon.
Yeah. Well, there ain't any places
way.
To go off Pike's Peak either.
Yeah. I don't
I
know.
I mean, pick your poison. Tree or... Woo!
I don't know. I kind of like that. I kind of like that
here,
idea.
Here, Fong Wai. Woo!
You get some time to think about
ow.
It. How does your life flash before your eyes if you're... If
you don't have 30 seconds of free air going down the side of the mountain.
All right. Well, that's all I had in that story there. I thought...
It's a tragedy the guy died, but they shouldn't stop
the race. It's a terrible tragedy. I hate the fact that people have taken advantage of it. So
yeah. Well, you know.
Anyway, I think we're going to run out to break now.
Well, that's good, because Durga started the music.
Yes, it is. That's what the music means.
Yeah. You know,
we don't want to scare people.
When
you know.
I lean back.
The music just happens at random moments during the show. This
moment.
Is actually a finely tuned show.
This is like a Harley. Oh, never mind.
Everything here happens for a reason.
This is like a drivetrain on a. Oh.
All right. Yeah. Well, I come back. Actually, I'm actually going to talk about one of my least favorite subjects, Orange County Choppers. So you won't want to miss that. We'll be back on the other side. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back. I kind of teased this up a little bit before we went to break.
We should come up with top 10 words that OCC can stand for. Overcharged choppers.
I didn't want to do that. In fact, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but if you haven't had enough Orange County choppers.
Don't tell me they're back.
Dot, dot, dot.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, I said it, so let's move on. Okay. A new daytime series is coming to A&E called OCC American Extreme. This is, Phil, you're supposed to go, Extreme!
Extreme!
Yes. Sorry. We've done that before.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
NDN Extreme! All right.
God help us. It's going to be a 13-episode series that will further exploit the lifestyle of custom motorcycle builders that will sell their souls. It features two...
For a lot of money.
Perhaps. Features two well-known names in the chopper industry. One of them is Paul Tuttle Sr.
Can I guess the other? Paul Tuttle Jr.
No, it's actually not.
Mikey Tuttle?
In fact, I'm going to tip my hat if I was wearing one. I'd tip it right now. I'd be like one of those little monkey grinders. People know who a monkey grinder is? You know what a monkey grinder is?
I know what a monkey grinder is.
I don't think a lot of people don't know what a monkey grinder is.
Durka, you know what a monkey grinder is?
He doesn't know. They don't actually grind up monkeys, Durka, so don't get that out.
He was all like, monkey brain's good. Yeah, he was like Indiana Jones Temple of Doom. Yeah. He's like, ooh, monkey brain's a delicacy.
The other
by Indian listeners.
Yeah, goodbye, Indian listeners.
Good rant.
The other person is Rusty Coons. Do you know that name, Phil?
I know that name. Where do I know that name
from? I'm
going to
see if you can figure out where you know that name from.
Rusty Coons. I'm stumped, but I've heard that name.
Yes, you have.
Where have I heard that name? I don't know.
He was on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh yes, okay. Wow. Is he really going to be on there?
Yes, it is a match made in heaven if you're running headlong into a semi. You know? Which, if you're not a Sons of Anarchy fan, you probably won't get that joke.
But that was pretty
cool. Coons played Rain Quinn on Sons of Anarchy.
Right.
And he's not just an actor. He also founded Illusionist Cycles. And he plays guitar in the heavy metal band he founded, Attica 7.
Attica. Oh, man. What a great movie that was.
So these two, and I say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, icons of the American custom motorcycle scene, will give some insight into their worlds during OCC American Extreme, which is set to premiere at 4 p.m. August 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2015.
Is A&E that desperate for content?
Yes! Apparently, because aren't all their series like ending, having their finales this year?
That
right?
is true. Hell, right? Isn't that Hell on Wheels? No. Yeah.
Yes, that's A&E.
It's like, yeah, we got a good show. We're going to have that guy chase Lincoln.
Right.
Oh, no. Chase John Wilkes.
That's pretty. I mean, they've had the three top shows end in the last 2 years that they had on A&E.
So they're going to pull up people that failed on like MAV TV or whatever.
Yeah. No.
But, yeah, that sounds like a winner. I wonder what OCC's paying to be on there. I bet it's a half million.
I'll bet
episode.
They're not paying a penny.
I bet they are.
I'll bet they're not.
They haven't sold.
I'll play. Let's place a gentleman's bet right now. Well, we'll do it for a cheeseburger and Five Guys. Okay?
Yeah.
That they're actually being paid to do this, because I will tell you that I do not believe right now that OCC's got the money to pay for a show.
Ooh, that is a good valid point.
So OCC American Extreme is produced by I Yell at My Son and He Yells Back at Me Productions.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
And also I Sue You, You Sue Me Studios.
I Sue You, You Sue Me.
Okay. All right. Well, those two. Okay, look, just before anybody, I start getting hate mail, which apparently I'm going to get anyway this week for a whole different reason.
You are Warren at ntnradio.com.
That's right. I am Warren. You can reach me at Warren. Those were two.
Don't ever expect
that. Those were two completely gratuitous shots that I took, but I couldn't help myself.
You know.
Why? Just, why, Phil?
Why?
I'm asking you, Phil. Why?
I have no good answer to that.
Why? Why do we need any more OCC?
Has anybody bought a chopper in the last 5 years?
Not many. Not many.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like... I mean, you even go... Now, I haven't been to Bike Week.
That craze
in a
is
years.
Pretty much bottomed out.
Right. It has. I mean, you know, the cycle world goes in cycles. I mean, it's kind of weird.
That's
but,
right, exactly.
But the motorcycle world goes in cycles.
And choppers was about a 7-year fad.
Right. And the fad's over, and now it's cafe racers.
Yeah.
You know, and big baggers with big old 22-inch rims.
That's true, yeah.
You know, baggers and cafe racers, and those are all bikes that you actually need to know how to work on a motorcycle to do.
Yeah.
I know nothing of Rusty Coons's other shop.
Yeah, I know nothing about it. My guess is not much to know about.
Yeah.
It's called I Play Off My Fame Motorcycles. Because I was on,
I wish I could, because
I was on America. I don't blame the guy for doing it.
Sons of Anarchy.
I don't hold him anything against the guy for doing it. I think you should get. You know, they say you need to strike when the opportunity's there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if he's. Getting
I mean, what famous, else is he doing? It's not like that show's there.
He's playing. He's playing in his band, Attica 7.
Attica. Now I want to have a prison riot.
Yeah, that would be appropriate.
So
I just think it's kind of, in a way, I would say, I think it's sort of sad. Sometimes you ought to just let it go.
Yeah, glory days have passed you by.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're close enough to Bruce Springsteen. Maybe we can get Bruce Springsteen to go to the OCC chop. It's not too far from his tech shelter ranch in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's right.
And ride over there to OCC and play glory days from the doghouse.
Yes, exactly. You know, I think sometimes you just need to you don't have to be in front of the camera all the time. Look at us. We're perfect examples.
We're perfect example.
We don't belong in front of a camera.
In front of a camera.
But I don't know. I saw this article and I thought, man, how sad is that? You know, how many are you going to keep trying to dredge up a dead?
So this says to me Rusty Coons is paying for the show.
I don't even think Rusty Coons would have the money for that. He is a bit part player on Sons of Anarchy. He wasn't a key player.
Yeah,
you know. So I'm sure he was probably making scale working, you know, on the show. He wasn't getting paid big bucks, so.
Yeah.
I mean, how many lines did he have in the last 5 years? Five?
Like six?
Okay, well, you're being gratuitous.
I'm being nice.
You gave him another one.
I mean, like, listen, I like this character on the show, but he didn't say much.
I don't remember much about his character.
He was just a guy who kind of sat there and like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, all right. I mean, hey. You know, it's like, hey, buddy, don't talk.
My guess is that he was probably approached to do this because somebody...
Because Paul's in your knees.
He's like, I got nothing better to do.
TV.
It's like, yeah, I guess there's not that many jobs out there.
Has Paul Sr. like gotten over like the AIDS or cancer or whatever that he's lost all the weight and stuff like that?
No, I don't. I think he's still.
I'm just saying that. He might not have any of that.
I was going to say that. I was the last thing that Paul Sr. was on that anybody cared about was the Celebrity Apprentice, right?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that.
So, and that guy got fired, too. No more Trump.
No more Trump.
No more Trump.
No more Trump. I don't think Trump cared. Don't think he cares.
Yeah, he's got other fish to fry, but...
Yeah. So anyway, but I just thought that's just kind of sad.
You talk about beating a dead horse to death.
Yeah. Let me move on to the next story, because I want to try and get this in before the end of the show, because we've already talked too much about that. Okay, I'm into retro as much as the next person.
I like retro.
Yeah. But I got a flashback to my childhood when Spanish motorcycle manufacturer Bull Taco, which I raced Bull Taco motorcycles, announced its return to the market last year.
Right, yeah, I remember you being all excited.
Oh, I was
about
all
that.
Excited about it, but alas, it's like going back to a restaurant you haven't visited since you were a child. Isn't it? It's always disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like going to Whataburger.
Oh, yeah,
you went to it once when you were hungry out somewhere, and you were like, oh, that was great. And then you have time, and you go there while you're in Birmingham, and you go, what in the hell was I thinking?
Yeah, it's like...
It's like the Whataburger.
I imagine,
so we'll call Bull Taco Whataburger.
I imagine that a Super Taco... At Jack in the Box, which I thought was the greatest food ever created by mankind.
Crap.
When you have the munchies, things are not quite
allegedly. White Castle fries only come in one size.
White Castle is another good example. That's another great
example.
White
Castle's still pretty good.
Yeah, but it's when I was expecting. Like the trail eating Persang or Alpina that I rode, Scramblers of the early 70s. Okay. That's what I thought was coming back. Instead, lo and behold, what are we treated to?
A scooter.
An electric bicycle.
You're kidding me.
No.
You are kidding me.
No, for the first product.
Where is the bump, bump?
There's a picture of it. There's a picture of it in this week's post. So for the first product launched in its second life, Bull Taco has shrunk the electronic powertrain technology down and put it in the form of an electric assist mountain bike known as the Brinco e-bike.
Brinco e-bike?
Yes, Brinco e-bike.
I'm even scared. Oh, my Jesus. I just pulled up a picture of that.
Yeah.
It's like a trials bike on crack.
It's like a trials, yeah, I guess. If it's like an old crack whore who's lost all her teeth and her weight.
I think he gave you a picture of that, didn't he? Did you give Dirk a picture?
No.
Well, then you're going to have to look at the post. I'm actually thankful that he didn't give you a picture,
Dirk. I wasn't going to do that. In fact, you know what? If you want to see a picture of it, you have to go to ntnradio.com and go to the Doghouse page for this post, because I'm not going to share it anymore. I actually had guilt putting it in the post. Because that's my heritage, and this is what they come
up with.
That's
not saying a lot about your heritage.
Not anymore, it's not.
Now when you say, I raced a Bull Taco, now I'm going to myself, oh my God, was that to get away from other kids beating you up?
They didn't build this back then. They built some, like I told you, they built Persangs and Alpinas that were badass motocross bikes back then. They didn't build this... gay sex bicycle. Okay.
But you know, here, I hate to say this, but I bet it's going to sell like hotcakes. Because you got all these yuppies who are like
pink and yellow hotcakes.
Oh, yeah, pink and yellow hotcakes. Right. But there's going to be all these people who want to do mountain biking that don't have the ability to go up the mountain. You get the electric assist bike, it climbs you up, and then you got the pedals there, so you act like you're pedaling.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see this being a big seller.
I don't know. Bull Taco calls the Brinco the world's first moto bike, half motorcycle, half bicycle. But even that they didn't get right, because there's a few others that are already out there that have already come out to dispute Bull Taco's claim. There's the trifecta DRT, which I think I mentioned in a joke on the show a couple years ago. The stealth B-52 bomber, which is a bicycle,
right? Okay,
but it has electric assist. And the EMX, who all claim that Brinko isn't even close to being the first electric bicycle that actually has any serious motorcycling DNA. Although, I will say, there isn't much motorcycling DNA in that at all. You did say it's sort of like a... It's
sort of like a trials bike?
In a bad, sad way.
Right. Like, it's like to put a seat on a trials bike.
There you go.
And an electric motor.
Now, even though the Brinko is faster and more powerful than a simple e-assist commuter bike, it is way short of a full-blown electric motorcycle, and it doesn't even have the motorcycle chops of a Zero or Brammo, which have both produced motocross bikes.
Please don't throw anything at me.
Okay.
And He's taking
things I could throw. Oh, he could, but Phil can't reach them.
I'm too fat to reach that. I was just getting things away from him.
It had nothing to do with your stomach. It had to do with your arms being too short.
My arms
because
are
Phil's kind of like a
my arms are Phil, too short Phil's for
like
my
a,
stomach.
Phil's like a T-Rex.
I could actually see this being a bike in cities people bought to commute on.
Oh, God.
And
Lord help us.
I knew somebody was going to throw.
Thank you, Durka.
If it's got any range, I'm sure it's probably got, a 20-mile range?
I can see a lot of people in New York City riding this bike.
I can see Washington, D.C.
I can see a lot of people in New York City riding
this bike. And Washington, D.C.
Perhaps.
And San Francisco.
Yes. Well, what are we covering, all the gay capitals of the U.S.?
Why are you so anti-gay? They just won. Now we don't ever have to see any of their parades or anything ever again because they're equal now.
That's right.
I can treat them. Oh, wait. We can treat them like crap because they're equal now.
That's right. Exactly.
You're damn right. We're going to treat them like we do Durka.
Yeah. But there's nothing in the Supreme Court ruling about gay bicycles.
Bicycles?
Okay. This is a bicycle. This is not a motorcycle in any shape, fashion, or form. I'm sorry. It's not.
But I could totally see commuters buying this.
Okay, yeah, well, that's probably what Toyota thought when they built the Prius.
No, Toyota thought when they built the Prius, they were like, "Oh, what's something that can't make it up a mountain or a hill?"
It looks like it looks like a mountain bike, Durka. That's what it looks like. It looks bike. It's a mountain bike.
But I could see people buying it and commuting and inner city commuting.
You know, they say that there is a buyer for almost anything.
You know, P.T. Barnum said there's a sucker born every minute.
And I hate to poop on my
I enjoy pooping on your past.
No, I on Bull Taco because, you know, that's...
They should just call it the taco.
Yes, you're right.
Because it kind of looks like a taco.
It does sort of. It does sort of. But, you know, their main competitors should have been Zero or Brammo, who both built electric motocross bikes that are respectable.
No, I don't think they're even going for that.
No, clearly they're
what
not.
What do they say in their press release? What is it supposed to be?
If you're gay, buy this.
Well, did they have it at the Supreme Court on Friday? That's where they should have unveiled it.
All those
people would have been.
I think it's actually it wasn't available for purchase at that point. But anyway, as I said, there's a.
I might get one.
Well, oh God, Phil.
Well, listen. I'm just thinking out loud. My niece and nephew.
Hand in the man card.
Listen. I'm injured from a caterpillar. I don't have a man card anymore. My niece and nephew do all that bike riding stuff and stuff like that. I can't keep up. I'd buy that to keep up.
I don't think you would keep up, Phil. How fast do you think it is?
I don't know. 15 miles an hour. Faster than I can pedal.
It's probably faster than you can pedal.
See?
Well, Phil, you know what they make? Why don't you get like a thing, those gas motors you can install in the back of a bicycle?
Oh, my God. Email Bull Taco, and we'll see.
They're not going to build it because they're out there pushing their...
Have them send us one.
They're...
As a test thing, we'll do a video of it going up Big Squishy's driveway.
No, there's no way that...
Yes, we'll put 400 pounds of Big Squishy on there, see if it'll go up his driveway.
If you put him on there, it'll be across the other side of the street, down the hill, okay?
And it'll be a great YouTube video.
It ain't going up his hill. There's no way.
It'll be a great YouTube video. Either way,
first of all,
email Bull Taco saying, I used to ride when you were heterosexual.
Wait.
Send me a bike.
Wait, it only puts out 44 foot-pounds of torque. There's no way Squishy's ass is going to go up that hill on 44 pounds. No, 44 pounds of torque?
You know what? Later this week on the Facebook page, I'll put a picture of Squishy's ass.
Okay? But there's no way. He can't.
Durkin doesn't have a mic. That's the best thing we did in the studio. I'm telling you, Durkin, shake your head yes or no. 4 foot-pounds of torque? Will it get him up his driveway? Durkin says yes.
I don't think so.
You got to email Bull Taco. Tell him this is more press than they'll ever get again in the rest of their lives.
I don't think so. The top output rating is equivalent to an electric fan, 1,500 watts.
Okay. Have them send us one.
I have not seen a fan that could,
want a demo.
On a flat surface, move Squishy's ass.
A week demo.
We're talking about. Let's put it this way. How can we explain to people what we're talking
about? Take Bigfoot, shave the hair.
Bigfoot after a big.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Bigfoot after.
A haircut.
Remember the.
Trim the hair. And give them 200 cheeseburgers.
Okay, think of a young version. If you ever seen the movie History of the World, I think it was the Monty Python, The Meaning of Life.
Meaning of Life, yes.
Yes. So if you take a younger version, the guy says you better get a bucket.
Yes.
Squishy.
Yes. Okay. Right. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that's definitely.
But send us one. Get on it. Be like, you guys used to ride your bikes. Send me one. I'll do YouTube and some press for it. Get us one, because I would love to do that.
Can I actually lie to them like that? I want to hide the fact that I used to race for them.
No, be
with
like,
that.
Listen, I used to ride for you guys when you were heterosexual.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah. But here you go, Phil.
You know, didn't two weeks ago we say we're going to clean the show up? We went right to the gutter today.
Yeah, we kind of did. I know. We're failures. We apologize.
Dirk is like bleeping every other thing.
We apologize. The battery can deliver the rider for about 18.6 miles. That's the range.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
18.6 is not bad. And that's
you got pedals for the rest. Does it recharge when you pedal?
No.
Damn it.
And it'll do that 18.6 miles without any pedaling. So if you pedal, you can actually extend the range.
Yeah.
So there you go, Phil. You know, if you want to pedal with your niece and nephew, okay?
I don't. That's why I want the electric power.
And
bicycle.
If you're going downhill and you have a really strong wind against your back,
mm-hmm.
and you're going off a cliff, it'll actually do about 37 miles an hour.
I bet that thing got a better chance of getting up Pike's Peak than I do.
I think I cried when I saw this, Phil. I think I actually did.
I know that, but I want you to send us one. Have them send us one.
Hey, listen, folks, we're going to run out to a break.
Oh, my God, they have Team Taco page. Team Bull Taco page.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about racing at Muddy Muddy Buds Creek, and we're going to also talk about...
Assin.
We're going to talk about some Assin.
Some Assin.
We get back. MotoGP and Moto2 and Moto3. Great.
Moto3, we got to talk about.
Riding in Moto3, so stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
That's a funky, nasty groove to come back to. I like it.
I take back everything I said about this being a well-structured show.
It is totally not a well-structured show, because Dirk goes, mics are on. I go, mics are on.
Yeah, I was going to say, apparently when a caterpillar stings your foot, apparently your ability to operate on a show like this goes right out the window.
My thumb is even hurting. I didn't do nothing to it.
Ooh.
You know, I might have to chop my foot off. That might be serious. We are talking pretty much...
Again, we need to video that, so...
Oh, yeah, I thought we'd do that on
right.
YouTube. Yeah. Hey, what did...
Right.
Ken, hit it with the chainsaw. Make an electric chainsaw.
I should actually make a point. And Phil, before you get going in there, you should mention about the survey.
Oh, yes, we almost forgot. On our page, the Doghouse page on ntnradio.com, we have a survey. Please fill it out. It takes like 4 hours.
There's encouragement.
Well, no, that way, when it only takes like an hour, they'll be happy and be like, man, that's not as long as I thought it was going to be.
And if they thought it was 4 hours going in, they wouldn't go in.
Oh,
so your logic just doesn't work.
You know, I always like to finish early. That's why I was saying
that. It'll take you like 5 minutes to do.
Okay, it'll take 7 minutes. Come on,
I'll bid it up to 8 if that's what we're going for.
I can do that survey in 7 minutes, 39 seconds.
There you go.
But anyways, do the survey. Take a little bit of time. Show us you love us. I don't really care. We had to do that for PodTrack, and that's the bottom. It's bottom line. I love our bottom line. So we had racing this weekend.
We did.
Are we going to talk? We should talk Mud's Creek first.
Right. You should explain that to everybody.
It was muddy.
It was actually Bud's Creek in Maryland.
Yes. Which really isn't a creek. It's more like an inlet. But whatever. They call it a creek, so we're fine with that. But it was muddy. It was soupy. You know, I got to yell at somebody on Facebook. The problem is I don't remember who it was. Because I was out in Northern Virginia, and it was pouring rain and everything. And across my Facebook page comes a picture of a bright and sunny Justin Barsha jumping off a jump at Bud's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, the weather must have missed them. Looks like they're having a good time. And I told a couple of my buddies, man, it's dry at Bud's Creek. It's probably going to be a good race. And then like a half hour later, real pictures started coming in. And mm-hmm. it looked like Daytona a few years ago, but a little less soupy, more ruddy.
It was pretty bad.
It was bad.
Here's one thing I will say about Bud's Creek. That is not uncommon.
No, I mean, it's literally
the two times I've been there, both times, the track was pretty much a muddy mess.
Yeah. It's
And we had a lot of rain the week going into this, and
We've had a lot of rain just in general this year.
And I suspected it was going to be a mess, and it was even worse than I expected when I watched the race.
Yeah, it was, and the ruts were really weird. Well, like some of them like diagonally cut each other.
They were kind of like the ruts that you would expect to see from large construction equipment.
Yeah.
Because they were...
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah, because they weren't like the nice pounded down ruts that you normally get on a motocross track. Instead, what these were let's go play in the mud tracks. And I saw that, and you know, my first thing that I thought about when I was watching the racing was, that's a fun track to race on when you're in the lead, and that's where it ends.
And even that, even being up front and in the lead didn't seem to be...
Oh, it's way better to be in the lead when the track's like that.
Oh, yeah, you have to be in the lead in that.
Because otherwise, everybody else is pretty much getting rooster-tailed with mud nonstop, and it's horrible, and you don't have enough tear-offs to make up for the fact that you're constantly getting splattered with mud all the time through the race.
Yeah, and like in the 250s, seeing Cirola and Musquin in the first race got all tangled up.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up to a disaster, a seventh for Musquin and I believe eighth for seeing Cirola. And just a miserable week. And when the number one guy for the weekend in 250s had a 7-1 and number two was a 1-7,
yep.
It just shows you nobody, I'd say... Probably Savacci had the best weekend with a 4-3.
I mean, I would say that the Martin brothers had a pretty good overall. The Jeremy did not have as good a weekend, and Jeremy's usually the one that has the better weekend of the two brothers. Alex had a pretty good weekend. Well, I mean, he had a fourth and a fifth, right?
No, Alex had a first and a seventh.
And Musquin had a seventh and a one.
That's why he got the win.
But Jeremy had what, a fourth and a fifth?
No, Jeremy was second because they were 1-2 in the first race, and sixth.
Oh, I thought he had a fourth and a fifth.
Fifth. I don't think anybody had a fourth and a fifth. Zach Osborne had a 3-5.
Or maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
But the first race, I mean, I thought that was cool that they came in 1-2 in the first race, the Martin brothers.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that was cool.
Until Jeremy had a mishap and his brother ended up taking the win.
Yeah, the Martin brothers still came in 1-2.
It was funny because his brother turns his head at one point to look to see where his brother is, and his brother ain't there.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you got to stay up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I believe a lot of races have always told me one of the most important things about racing is finishing.
It is.
It's staying up, staying on track.
It is.
You know, so, I mean, it was just a soupy, muddy mess. Bud's Creek, literally from the hills there, you can see the bay.
Yes.
What is that?
The Potomac. Right,
I thought it was
the other side of the Potomac.
It's the other side of the Potomac, but it's also what's that bay?
I don't know.
Chesapeake? Is that?
Is it there on the Chesapeake Bay?
I guess so.
No, it's on the Potomac. It's the other side of the Potomac.
Whatever.
River.
Which
was always swamps on either side of the Potomac.
Yeah.
The whole city of Washington was a swamp at one point.
Yeah, it still is.
Not that kind of swamp.
Oh. Well, you know, I mean, it still gets floody and stuff.
Yeah, it's below sea level.
Yeah. So it's pretty much I guess that is the Potomac.
Yeah.
All right. But it's it was just a muddy mess. It's just just all around muddy mess. It was fun to watch. I enjoy that. You know, I mean I thought it looked cool and stuff. but I would hate to have raced in it.
Yeah, it's not a lot of fun. I've been on the receiving end of that, and it's not a lot of fun.
You know, I was talking to Brian Downey, who is the only person on the NTN Radio Network who's actually in the AMA Motorcycle Hall of Fame.
What's he in the Motorcycle Hall of Fame for?
There's like three pictures of him.
Oh, he got...
From when he used to race hair scrambles?
Oh, so pictures of him with people that actually matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But, hey, it beats me. There's no picture of me.
There's no
picture of me standing behind Colin Edwards while he's doing an interview or something.
That's true.
You know, so he said he used to love racing those kind of tracks.
They're not fun mid-pack. They're a lot of fun when you're out front, and I will agree they are the funnest tracks to ride on, but not necessarily the best tracks to race on.
Yeah.
Unless you're out front. Yeah. Because literally you're eating mud the whole time.
Yeah, mud and Southern Maryland mud don't taste good.
No.
You know, because you got all them Amish people running around with their horses pooping all over the place. Stuff like that. In the 450s, apparently Barcia is the opposite of Samson. For those of you who don't read.
Right, yeah, he gets his hair cut,
and he was a terror.
I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think what it is that Barcia's one of those wet track guys. You know how we always talk about the guys that race really well in the rain and the road racing? I think that's what it was more than anything. Yeah, I mean, mud and slop benefit a sloppy rider, and he's a sloppy rider. He's just taking other people out.
Okay, that is hard to argue, but I will say, I don't think Christoph Purcell is a sloppy rider.
No.
And arguably, I thought he had the better weekend.
Overall, he did. He had a good week.
You know, he had a great weekend overall.
But I actually would say that I do think he does excel in wetter tracks.
Maybe.
Purcell, I think he does.
I just wouldn't call him a sloppy rider.
I knew when I saw how bad it was in the first 450 race, I knew at that point that it was not going to be a strong weekend for Roczen. He's never done really well on sloppy tracks.
And Dungy had the win in the first race, but the second race was miserable.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't good.
I mean, I think he's still trying to ride around and find the finish line.
Yeah, right.
You know, that was just a miserable race for him. Blake Baggett had a pretty good weekend, too.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, I mean, Roczen's weekend wasn't killer. It just wasn't great.
No, it was let's put it this way. He's fortunate that it wasn't a great weekend for Dungy.
Yeah, if Dungy had had two podiums or whatever.
I think we're still at 37 points, I think.
37 points. I just was doing the math.
So, I mean, there's plenty of time for a Roczen.
Plenty of time. And hopefully
there's some better courses for him, you know, that are coming up on the schedule. So.
Yeah, I believe they have Red Bud next.
I think so. I think that's correct. Yep.
Red Bud's next. So hopefully it'll be dry there. I mean, that would just look miserable.
Yeah,
I mean, you could tell the guys were wet all the way through. Muddy. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, these guys weighed 15 pounds more when the race was over with from the mud that they had on. There's no question.
I did like Barcia spraying his guys with mud coming in.
Yes,
that was kind of a nice. Yeah,
yes. Yeah, that was. I'm sure they appreciated it too.
Yeah. So let's talk some MotoGP.
Okay.
Because I don't want to run out of time.
Right.
And it's getting to a point where we got to worry about the time a little bit. First, I want to mention Moto3. Nicholas Ayo?
Ayo, yeah.
Ayo, okay. I didn't know if I was going to pronounce that right because there's a J in there, but we don't say the J because it's silent, apparently.
Maybe the greatest racer of all time.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be. Well, he had like a reincarnation of an undead Kenny Kelly.
Which most of our listeners won't know.
Who is a stunt rider, we know. Adrenaline crew, and he came off his bike, and he was on his knees, and he was fighting to hold the bike up, still staying on the throttle.
He stayed on the throttle, kept both hands on the handlebar, even though he was off the side of the bike.
Yeah, he was skitching
and
on his feet.
And he kept the bike upright. Some of the best riding that I've seen from a road racer in a long time.
Yeah, and then crossed the finish line on his knees.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised they counted it.
I'm not.
I figured they would pull out some BS rule like the rider has to be seated on the bike.
No, because I remember that you can't. I do believe that worst comes to worst, you can actually push your bike across the line and still get counted.
Oh, okay.
So he rode it. So.
So, I mean, best finish, it's on. People are posting up videos of it and stuff. I just shared it on my Facebook page. I'll share it on the Doghouse page. Great to watch that. That was just really cool.
In my opinion, the best part of the Moto3 race, which this weekend I wasn't all that enthralled with.
It wasn't a bad race.
It wasn't
a great race.
No.
That saved it.
Yeah.
That did save it.
Kind of a boring race, I thought, which was kind of surprised me because it's usually very good racing.
Yeah, Aston's usually a pretty good race. But so that was the big thing there. I thought the disappointment race of the weekend was Moto 2.
I don't know. I actually thought it was it looked like till the very latter stages of the race that Lowe's was going to make a comeback. I thought, and
I don't have that kind of confidence in Lowe's.
I thought there was a lot of good racing between Zarco and Rabat for, you know, till the very very end. I mean, they never broke
Folger?
Away.
Folger wins or is like finishes like seventh.
That's what the rule. The rule is he wins or finishes seventh place, and that's what he does.
Yeah, that was just horrible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he looked good he looked good in the beginning.
He looked very strong in the beginning. In fact, yeah, I thought that I thought, wow, this isn't going to hurt me in the pool, at least because no one's going to have picked him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But Zarco just worked his way back, but it wasn't like I thought, oh man, that was a great. I actually think
it was a great performance by Zarco because
yes.
Zarco got a bad start. He got a wheelie at the start of the race, lost like seven positions off the bat, worked his way very workmanlike.
And then him and Folger swapped
calm,
positions.
Very, very calm. And he had to hunt down Rabat because Rabat was having a good race.
Yeah.
This is kind of a backbreaker for Rabat, don't you? I mean, don't you think?
I think that's happened a while ago.
No. Rabat was within reach of him points wise, but. Now it's going to be really, really tough because he dropped that.
He's 45 points behind.
That's not, I mean, that's not insurmountable. That's not even two races.
No, it's not insurmountable, but it is a bit of a challenge.
It's 41 points now.
I just don't see Rabat having
41 points now.
45.
Oh, it's 45 now.
Yeah.
So it was 39. You're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, so it's. I would say that was a backbreaker race.
That could have been the championship.
Well, I think also Rabat was the strongest guy out there at the beginning of the race. It looked like he was going to manage that race and win.
Yeah, I just don't have the confidence in him to do that right now.
Well, that's why I didn't pick him, and I think that's why you didn't pick him either.
Yeah. Well,
the problem is that you can't bet on Rabat being able to beat Zarco.
Right.
Zarco right now seems to be the best overall racer in that series.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
And then... I guess the new Yamahas are pretty solid because Rossi finally learned how to qualify, first off.
Yeah.
Which I've been saying all year, if he can start from the pole, he can win.
That's been his big weakness, has been qualifying.
And, you know, Marquez looked strong for a little while. Lorenzo looked really strong. But Rossi, when Marquez passed him towards the end, I said to myself, man... I don't think Marquez can keep it up, and Rossi got him back, and then Marquez tried to run into him.
Okay,
again.
I will make one comment that really worried me about this race. Marquez went back to the 2014 chassis, and that seemed like it helped him a lot.
Yeah,
A lot. I mean, he was more.
But I think the new Yamaha chassis. You know, Lorenzo and Rossi have been talking for a couple weeks about this new chassis, and they're finally getting the hang of it.
Right.
And I don't think. The Hondas have as much advantage that they had the last couple of years.
No, I agree. I think Yamaha's caught up. I don't think they do, and there's another advantage they have, and that is the Honda riders, for the most part, have not been riding well.
I don't think Marquez was riding bad until he just couldn't pass Rossi at the end. It's the same, when he ran him into it?
I think he got a bump by going to the 2004, back to the 2014.
I just think... I don't think he had a bad race. I just think he got beat. I think on an equivalent bike, Rossi's a better rider.
Right now.
Yeah.
Right now. And what do you attribute that to? You attribute totally to the chassis?
The fact that he's Valentino Rossi.
Well, he was Valentino Rossi last year.
Yeah, but he wasn't on an equivalent bike.
Okay, so then it is the chassis. It's not Valentino Rossi.
Yeah, I totally think that when you put him on bikes that are fairly matched... Marquez is not the superstar of 2 years ago.
Well, last year.
Or last year.
Last year. Last year he was the bigger superstar.
Here, but
before we run out of time, because we are coming to the end of the show, you want to talk about the pool real quick?
Not really.
You don't?
No, I did pull in the third. I didn't pull it up, and that's why
I thought
really...
we were going to... We have that. We always go over the pool.
I know, but Durka was being distracted.
He was too busy looking at gay bicycles.
He is. Me or him?
You.
Oh, you might be right on that. I just think that Olaf's still in the lead. That's what really sets
There's
up
your
the
summary.
That's the summary. Oh, Hawkeye is in second. I'm in third. I moved up. A lot of people had Rossi and Rabat for picks. So there was a lot of like 45 point getters and stuff like that. I made some points up on the leader.
Me too.
Richard and Matt round out the top five. Ken, you are still 1 point behind Warren. You got to do something about that.
No, I believe me, I have to do nothing about that. I just let Warren take care of that all on his own.
Yeah, and then we got We got a log jam between like 11th and 9th place. There's four guys within 10 points.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's getting close. It's getting, you know, rubbing elbows, knocking each other around.
A lot of racing left. We just passed the midway point.
So, yep. No Superbike racing or MotoGP next week.
Wow.
So we got Red Bud and we got Flat Track will be in Lima. Oh, yeah, and they canceled. If you're planning on going to Castle Rock, they canceled that for the Flat Track. And I guess we'll be back next week.